So how do you currently receive information from the city? And how do you prefer to receive it? Now, looking at the preferred methods, again, social media is on top, followed by online or print media, and then City of Pensacola text, email, subscriptions, and then followed by the website. Of those, write-in radio was on top.
Oh, yeah, baby. People wrote in for radio. I love it. This is Nicole Gieselson from UWF, the Haas Center. They're talking about how in the satisfaction survey for the City of Pensacola, radio was not an option, but I actually messaged her and said, is radio going to be an option next year? She's like, oh, yeah. So good. And I think, you know, part of that is obviously just because, you know, of what we do. But part of that is also because we have the mayor on every week. And if people want to know what's going on in the city, they might listen to the interview where we talk with the mayor. The mayor on the radio. Mayor D.C. Reeves, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Thanks for having me. And I just assumed radio was number one. I didn't even think we had to ask. That's what I think that was the idea.
You said the sweetest things. Look at you. That's great. let's talk some of the things that are going on. I'm asking this only because I have now driven through it a couple of times, and I think I know, but I'm not 100% sure. If people are driving through Bayfront with all of the lane closures and ziggity zags and what you can and cannot turn, like you can't go north on 9th Avenue anymore going east off Bayfront, what is that construction for? You tell me. You tell them.
Yes. All right. Great question, because there's two different things exciting in the next few years happening on Bayfront. One that you may have heard about, which is, very excited about, is the Sun Trail, the 12-foot separated mixed-use bike path. Me and you have talked about that. That's slated for, at this point, probably a 2028 completion. I mean, that's going to be, obviously, that's a big project. What you're seeing out there now is the funded $2 million stormwater project. It was part of our final ARPA funding that was part of our match. So a multi-million dollar stormwater project. Anybody who's lived here for any amount of time knows how all the flooding in that Aragon, 9th Avenue, BMP kind of area, all of that kind of where all the water's coming down from 9th Avenue.
Yeah.
So this has been a problem for us for years. And one of the big check boxes for us in terms of stormwater mitigation, alongside the kind of Joe Patty's area that's also been funded that we're working on here pretty soon as well. So those were two big stormwater projects that needed to be done really for generations. And so that's what you're seeing. All that lane realignment and all that is the stormwater work that's happening down there at 9th and Bayfront.
Okay, so this is not the, you know, realignment of Bayfront, the changing of the median, the lane widths, the two-laning and all that stuff. This is literally just a stormwater project. The other one will start in a couple of years most likely. Is that basically right?
That's correct. And, okay. And just an update on the other one, FDOT's in design. As a matter of fact, I believe they're having a hybrid input meeting on April 22nd, FDOT.
Okay.
And they've had some of those with the Sun Trail. And, you know, just to get out in front of a couple things, you know, my big concern, number one, we were a huge advocate for that Sun Trail to happen because of just the value of being able to get people in and around safely along the beautiful waterfront. But our citizens want access to the waterfront. Yeah. That's what they told us in our surveys. But second to that is to make sure that it stays aesthetically pleasing and beautiful and create shade and all of those things. And so we're already kind of preparing mentally and literally for some additional landscaping outside of FDOT scope, just to make sure that it has the beauty of our waterfront that we want. So we're planning internally as that design continues to move forward. But, you know, we're talking about a $4-6 million project. At least probably by the time we get to 2028 for that. And so we certainly appreciate FDOT support, Senator Brockson's support, who's really made that happen.
And by the way, just to make sure to put a punctuation mark on it, no truth to the rumors that they want to put a Cervantes-style border wall in when they do the reconstruction, though, right?
No. And what I can tell you...
Don't put ideas in people's heads, Andrew!
With plans that we approve, no. That will not be happening.
Oh, speaking of that, by the way, I do have to give you kudos. I laughed out loud at your when you were writing your April Fool's Day post. The one that caught me was the red light camera remediation one, that if you have a D.C. Reeves for mayor sticker on your car, you get an extra 0.2 seconds on your red light running grace period. That made me laugh.
We tried to check it and see if that was legal.
I'm curious, did you write that or did somebody else write it? Because it was funny.
No, I wrote that. My brother gave some input. So mm-hmm. It was a team effort.
Okay, very good, very good. Mr. Mayor, you know, one of the things that came up at the last meeting was the talk about the letter sent by the county commission regarding the UWF trustees and all of the controversy surrounding them. If I'm not mistaken, did you go to UWF? I can't remember. You did or didn't go to UWF?
No, I went to Florida State.
Okay, thank you. But you had said, indicated that you'd be willing to sign and send a letter because that kind of solves some of the issues of the timeliness of it. And then if city council members want to add their signature to it, that's entirely up to them. Have you written? Have you sent? Where does that stand?
Yes, a letter was written and certainly sent from our office. The last check with me was it was going to Don Crayer for whoever at the council wanted to sign. And you're right, we took that on for the sake of expediency.
Right.
Obviously, getting the county the city council to agree on a letter would mean another meeting and all of the other. And so they can now all of them individually have their own free will to sign or not sign. They don't need to have a joint letter that gets approved and all the red tape that comes with that. So it helped us move a little bit faster and, you know, certainly happy to support that effort as you've started to see and have seen all around the community.
Very good. Yeah, no, I appreciate that. We got a new port director, a retired two-star rear admiral, right?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, Lance Scott, we're certainly excited to have him. And, you know, he's got a decorated military career that speaks for itself, not only in the service to our country, but in what I really believe is the precipice of an amazing era for our port, in that combination of those traditional cargo port uses and those becoming more and more valuable to us in terms of job creation. We're starting to already even see GE's presence expand at the port, and GE estimates about a 2,100 job impact around the community. And that port is vital for their effort, not only on Scenic Highway, but the other ancillary jobs that come into play with GE's work with those wind turbines. So that's an example. And then, of course, goes without saying, American Magic and all of the other sigil businesses, lines of business, training for engineers for UWF and Pensacola State. It's an amazing time, I think. These next 5 years of the port, you know, I think can be transformational. And to have somebody of his operational skill, experience, you know, I mentioned in the press conference, you know, at his last job, you know, he was only charged of 6,500 people. You know, I think he can he bring quite a lot of operational and leadership experience to our port and take us into this new era.
I was curious whether he was an applicant or he was a Tim Kinsella connection or, you know, like how did he come to be? I just out of curiosity.
Yeah. Yeah. A little bit of both. I mean, he was obviously an applicant, but you know, I mean, obviously that's the value, I believe, of having leadership like Tim is it brings a sense of credibility to maybe someone or a group of people that wouldn't otherwise apply. And I think anytime you see that, you know, anytime you have new leadership, then it attracts other good leaders that believe in that person as well. Right. And so, you know, who's to know what would have happened or wouldn't have happened if Tim wasn't here. But,
right.
You know, have we seen a quite a subset of amazingly accomplished military, former veterans or veterans and former active duty applying for jobs? Yeah. And I'm sure that Tim's presence and his credibility in that space is providing for that. I think that's safe to assume.
No, I think it's one of the benefits you couldn't intend exactly, but it winds up working in our favor. Also, I really take to heart, and I don't know that people always really grasp the concept that, you know, the port is going to have things that are located there that are useful. It has port-related activities that are dependent upon it being a port, but it has port-related activity leverage to other things that are not based
Correct.
At the port, but like you say with, you know, GE, that very much depend on that unique feature that we have for their operation. I think that's an important point. In the conversation about Community Maritime Park, I think it's been a little bit muddled or a little bit lost that, well, the Hard Rock project is going. There's a second hotel project that is also, like, it's kind of been pushed off and waited and been, you know, in the background all this time because it was in prominence and then kind of waned. But there's another hotel project possibly, right?
That's right, yeah. So Parcel 7, I don't expect our citizens to know their parcel numbers. So
Amen.
It's next, it took me a while.
Yep.
Parcel 7 is next to Nick's Boathouse there. It's that kind of trapezoid triangular piece on the water. And yes, you're exactly right. This has been a conversation for years with Valencia. And the reason it's been delayed is because there was all of that conversation about a parking structure. And we have taken the position now in this administration to say, hey, let's kick the can on a $25 million parking structure at Maritime as long as we can reasonably. So Parcel 5, the Hard Rock and the apartments, biggest misperception I deal with right now is people think that that means they're going to use parking lot, the current parking lot. They are not. They are. Parcel 5 is self-parked underneath. So Parcel 4, we have parking obligations to the Maritime Office Building, to the Wahoos. So that existing parking lot that you park in for games is not going to – not one space of that is dedicated to the Hard Rock project, right? So Valencia,
which is
going to
– for people who don't know, is going to go on the grassy knoll, right? That's the part that – and it's going to be self-parked, self-contained on that project. Go ahead. Sorry, just for people who don't know
correct.
It as well.
Yeah, sorry. So, that piece of grass right behind home plate is where our Hard Rock is currently going, and it will be self-parked. Zero parking impact to the current parking lot. So then we said, all right, well, Parcel 7, how do we get there without also having to build a parking structure? And so that's really the detail that we're down to. So the council action is to give me about – I think it's a 90-day extension. I don't think we'll even need that much time. We've agreed on all terms. It's just a matter of figuring – they need 180 parking spaces. We found about 100. And we're going to kind of cobble together something for these other 80 and get to an agreement with them. They need that, understandably, for bank financing and things like that to know that they've got enough parking spaces to support a hotel. But I feel very confident that we're going to pull off, and I think is a great asset to the community. If we can get 5 done with apartments and hotel and the second hotel done at 7 without having the taxpayers have to fund a $25 million parking garage, I think that's a good thing.
Yeah.
And if we were to ever have any more development after that where we can't kick the can anymore, then we can have that discussion then. But that's what we tried to do, was try to kind of thread the needle and let's get development going here without having to have that type of taxpayer expense.
No, I think that's all good stuff. We always like to end with a bit of a lightning round. I know you were a sports reporter for a long time, so I'm curious what your answer is going to be. It was opening day recently, of course, for Major League Baseball. If you could only keep one of the major sports, basketball, football, baseball, or hockey, which one would you keep?
Professional, it's still got to be football. I mean, at the end of the day, Saint season ticket holder for life, man. I can't imagine going without it.
All right, fair enough. How long does it take Mayor D.C. Reeves to eat a full meal? What's a normal eat time for you for a meal?
Now, the average meal time has shrunk considerably since I've been in this job.
I got you.
Tim asked me in my office. He said, "Do you eat lunch during the day?" I'm like, "Sometimes I don't." It's probably gone from like 20 minutes to like 8 minutes since I've been the mayor, but which is probably not healthy. But so it's a very, very short amount of time I'm eating unless I'm at a lunch, like a luncheon
That's
or something.
Too bad. Bad for your digestion, bad for your body, and bad for your enjoyment.
I know.
These things suffer. Last one is in your house, where do you keep your shoes? We had a conversation about this yesterday, whether you should keep them in the closet or somewhere else, or, you know, Better Homes and Garden has opinions, so.
Yeah, I was going to say, I feel like it's a very basic principle to keep them in the closet. So, and now you asking me this makes me concerned.
Well, no, that's the normal human answer. John keeps them in the living room. Okay. Some people keep them in the garage, maybe the mudroom, you know, that kind of thing. So that their advice was not in the bedroom closet because it's going to, you know, musty, make things stink or whatever. But I just think maybe Better Homes and Gardens has stinky
feet.
In
an act of normalcy, I keep my shoes in the
Very good. Oh, I did want to get your reaction. There was one other thing. Somebody made a comment that I wanted to get your reaction to real quick before I let you go.
Very briefly, I'd just like to remind everybody to ensure that you wish the mayor a happy birthday tomorrow.
Which kind of cake are we having Thursday?
Depends on how the meeting goes.
Depends on how the meeting goes, of course. So it was your birthday last week, right?
That's right. 41. I said I've stopped counting, but this will be the last one I count. But
so you're gonna be one of those like 41 every year forever.
Yeah, exactly. Everybody does 39. I'll just do 41 because, you know, remember,
sure.
People still call me a kid in this job. So,
well, it's believable.
Be
I mean, if you say 39, people know you're lying about it. But if you say 41 and it's always 41, they'll think, oh, I mean, it could be. He's got a youthful face. So happy birthday, Mr. Mayor. Mayor D.C. Reeves, as always, thank you for the time. Thanks for what you do. And we will talk to you again next week.
All right, Andrew. Thanks so much.